This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We'll talk a little local politics, growth, and development with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Eric Strucco will join me from the Albemarle County School Board to continue our conversation that we started on Friday. Tomorrow, we'll look at the life and legacy of Howard Goodwin, who recently passed away, a graduate of the University of Virginia. I want to invite you to join me on Facebook and Twitter, Coy Barefoot, at Coy Barefoot. Facebook and Twitter. Jump in, the water is fine. Do you Twitter? Are you a Twitter? Do you Twitter personally?
Yes. I do.
Do you tweet?
I tweet.
I have a new Twitter account. I'm very excited about it.
Well, all right, Coy.
Yeah, I've had a Facebook for a long time, and that's a lot of fun. And I have, 800 friends, so that's a lot of fun. But
you have an iPhone now, right?
I do have an iPhone now. It's very exciting.
Are you using Foursquare?
I'm not using Foursquare. Foursquare
is a new app you need to get.
I'm using Echophone.
Echophone.
And I'm using TweetPic. You know what I'm talking about? You with me?
Yes. I know TweetPic.
I can go into Echophone and hit edit, and then I can...
There you go.
I'm good to go with the pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Charlottesville Tomorrow is also
I'm a hipster, Brian. I'm a hipster.
On Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, some people, that's how they get to our stories. They see the link on Twitter. It's not for everybody. But for some people, they're watching that feed pretty constantly.
I have to tell you, I thought Facebook would be enough.
Yeah.
And then I learned that all the kids these days, they're not really into Facebook anymore. It's Twitter. That's really, and that's how they like really follow all their latest news and information. They turn on their Twitter thing, and you can subscribe to all of these, you know, newspapers and magazines and just scroll through it really quickly and get all the news of the day in seconds. It's amazing.
That's what we do at Charlottesville Tomorrow. So we are watching all the other media and their Twitter feeds to see what people are talking about.
And you can retweet. Like you see somebody else's tweet that you like, you can retweet it on yours. And then send it out through yours.
That's right.
It's a whole new world, Brian.
Well, welcome to the Twitter sphere, Coy.
It's very cool. Speaking of cool, Southern Living, we had a caller let us know that Southern Living has an article about the best Southern pies.
They didn't call me.
They did not call you, and there's only one from Virginia, someplace in Leesburg I've never heard of. And Delaware is on the list.
What magazine?
Is Delaware
was
a
this?
Southern state?
What magazine?
Southern Living. They have christened Delaware a Southern state. Last time I checked, that was north of Mason-Dixon, wasn't it?
I think so.
Why is Delaware on this list?
I have had good pie in Delaware.
Now, don't go there. No. It's not a southern state, though. You can have good pie there. You can have good pie in Manhattan. Great pie, probably.
I don't know about
But it
that.
Shouldn't be on a list of the South's best pies. Shame on Southern Living.
If they had Googled pie in Virginia, I guarantee you they would have found our shows.
Yes, of course they would.
They obviously didn't do their homework.
Have you had any good pie lately?
I had some pie in Nashville over the weekend.
Tell me everything.
It was key lime pie, but it didn't.
It didn't do it for
it
you.
It didn't do it for
you
me.
You were disappointed.
I was disappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I
had some key lime flavored yogurt recently.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually really quite good.
The best key lime pie I have had in town is from Chandler's Bakery.
Really?
That's my endorsement.
Up there near the old Circuit City, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's good, really?
Great key lime pie.
Well, there you go. You got to stop by there on your way home from work then and get some.
I should. Now you're making me hungry.
Brian Wheeler, the website is cvilletomorrow.org. Where should we begin? How about economic development?
How about it? Back in May, you may remember, Coy, that we wrote a story about an economic development action plan that Ken Boyd on the Board of Supervisors had developed with local business leaders and county staff. And he had brought that to a meeting of the Board of Supervisors and said, this was to follow up on actions they took back in January when the new board was convened after the elections, and they said they wanted to make economic development a key part of their plan for this year. This action plan was the detailed steps they wanted to have the county pursue to promote economic development. And so the action plan came out in May. The initial reaction was along the lines of, from his colleagues, I wish you had gotten us involved sooner. And Mr. Boyd said, well, I did back in January. That's when we voted to do this, and now we're doing it. And
But that's not what they meant.
That's not what they meant. Ann Malik,
come on, Ken.
At the next meeting, the chairman, Ann Malik, said she was going to reinstate the pre-agenda meetings so that she and the county executive were on the same page about what was going to be in the agenda packets.
I'm surprised that the county executive didn't say to the chair of the board, Ann Malik, oh, by the way, one of your members has been working with us on the sly, or on the side, however you want to put it, to develop a whole new economic action plan that he has the votes for and you don't know about.
Well, when I
It sounded like Bob Tucker was in cahoots.
All I can say is when I called Ann Malik and asked her about that item being on the agenda, she said this was news to her. So
yeah.
I don't know why that conversation didn't happen, Coy. But
yeah, I mean, you could just hear it at that meeting.
All,
like,
this is all water under the bridge now.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're in July. So the plan was not approved at that meeting in May, nor at the next time it was discussed in June. And the feedback that the board agreed on was to get more public input, get other stakeholders involved and providing feedback. And that has happened. County staff facilitated two roundtable sessions in June. There were 85 people involved in those roundtables. 15 different stakeholder groups were involved. And so I think it's, you know, this is an example of positive public input, I think, at this point in the process. I think we can look back on this and say, okay, now people have had a chance to weigh in on this. And the document has been significantly changed since May. There's been a lot of wordsmithing that's taken place. And even though county staff, you know, didn't really want to get into the discussion of whether there should be an action plan or not, they did allow comments about specific wording that was in the proposal. So tomorrow night...
Well, and that's to Ken Boyd's credit, then, that he came in with a proposal that he was willing to have edited and compromised and changed, perhaps, and he didn't try to force anything down anybody's throat. There
it was allowed to go through a longer process. Now, I think that was not what they thought they were going to do back in May.
Yeah.
I think they were optimistic that it would be approved and they could move forward. But people push back on that. You know, public comments came forward. People said, hey, we need more time to look at this. And they got that time.
I mean, if you have an economic development plan for the whole county, it should be more than just one member of the board working with some staff and nobody else knows about it.
Well, to be clear, the county does have a whole chapter about economic development in its comp plan. And that got reviewed by the public and the board last year. And it was updated and approved. So there's another document, and this is more, hey, let's put some concrete steps. What are we going to do this year to change how we're doing on economic development?
Yeah. More of an immediate agenda action, tactical.
I guess I would say. So Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, Lane Auditorium at the County Office Building, the board's going to have their last public hearing on this, and we expect them to vote on the action plan. You've got stakeholders out in the community like the Free Enterprise Forum. Neil Williamson represents the business community. He is calling on his blog today for the plan to be approved. He says it's an important first step and that it should go forward. On the other hand, you've got Advocates for Sustainable Albemarle Population, ASAP. Jack Marshall's group is calling for a delay in that vote, that the vote should not happen. They think this plan needs more review before it goes forward.
So what's in it?
Well, what's in it?
That Free Enterprise Forum might love and that ASAP might not love.
Well, that's a good question. Let me pull it up here in front of me, Coy. And this is available at albemarle.org, the county's website. One of the things that was taken out, I'll talk about something that's not in it in a moment, because this upset Neil Williamson, and he wrote about this. It used to say that there was a statement along the lines of, we want Albemarle to be known as being open for business. And they specifically used those words, quote, open for business. That was taken out of the document. And Neil thought that was an important statement to have in there that we needed to be saying. If you're going to be about economic development, you need to send the message, hey, we want to have your business here in Albemarle County. But that was taken out. What was added, Coy, was a lot of language tying this back to the comprehensive plan and the goals Albemarle County has for what I would, you know, many people would say is smart growth. Let's grow in a way within our designated growth areas and make that quality development. And so a lot of that language has been added to this plan since Mr. Boyd first brought it forward. And Dennis Rooker was one of the supervisors really advocating for that approach to say, hey, let's not come up with something entirely new. We've already talked about this. Let's make sure it respects the language that's in our comp plan. So the types of things it talks about, Coy, are the first Roman numeral is improving the county's business climate and image. It's got certain strategies related to that. The second Roman numeral is to simplify and create certainty in the development review process. they want to have the applicants who are trying to get business projects approved, rezonings approved, to have some expectation about the time and money it takes to get something through the system.
Which makes sense, so it doesn't just drag on, and if somebody's trying to start a business, they know how to budget for this process,
Roman numeral three, keep it consistent with the county's comprehensive plan. Focus on employers that are sort of knowledge-based, capital-intensive, i.e. not dirty industry, right? Have these be tech jobs that are that will coexist well with our environment and respect, you know, the natural area that we have. A real focus has been added, Coy, to put wording in to say we're all about supporting existing local businesses and providing jobs for people who already live here. So an emphasis has been put in this document to make sure it's about growing jobs locally for local residents as opposed to bringing in an outside company and saying, hey, we want you to bring, you know, 10,000 jobs to Albemarle County from the outside. Instead, the focus is on growing organically within the community. And I think that's an important distinction that's been put in this document.
Interesting.
So that's some of the highlights.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow at SeavilleTomorrow.org, Economic Development in Albemarle County.
And there's still a chance for people to weigh in on that. Wednesday night, the Board of Supervisors, again, will be the last public hearing, and then we expect them to take a vote on it.
I think this is great, but in all of this, didn't every county and municipality in the country like is formulating something like this? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I know in Virginia there's a lot of localities who are saying, well, this is what we want to do.
Well, the government has to figure
out. They're all competing with each other. You know,
the government has to figure out what its role is going to be. You know, I was in Nashville over the weekend. I was reading the paper, and it said the mayor had put down $500,000 to incentivize a company, you know, to move to Nashville.
Yeah.
So is government going to put dollars on the table,
and
create
that
tax
works.
Incentives?
That stuff works.
Buy business parks and say, hey, here's where we want you. You know, we're open for business.
Yeah.
So government needs to, you're right, all governments around the country are talking about this, especially in this economy, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're competing for fewer and fewer jobs.
They are. And Albemarle County is going to do it its way, and its way has been to spend several months talking about this action plan. But we expect it to move forward. And, Coy, I would not be surprised if people like Ann Malik and Dennis Rooker end up supporting this. And you know, you think about Congress and the way things used to be, where you had bipartisan support and people wordsmith things and something, you know, some things get taken out, other things get put in.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, people are okay with that piece of sausage that's been created.
Well, that's how we got the Declaration of Independence. I mean, they edited Jefferson like crazy. And it wasn't until July 4th when they finally reached a compromise and said, is this what we all agree it should say?
And I may be wrong, and I hate trying to predict how local government will vote on things because I'm usually wrong. But I would not be surprised if there's enough language in here now that it's been tempered, so to speak, some of the exuberance about going out and attracting, you know, new jobs to the community, that it's been now framed in such a way that maybe the majority can be happy with it.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. It doesn't sound to me like there's anything too controversial in there, though.
I think some of those statements that did concern people have been taken out, and other language has been added. There's obviously still enough to concern some stakeholder groups like ASAP, so not everyone's going to be happy.
What's this about the Western Bypass? What's the latest on that? I thought that was dead. Is it dead or is it like a zombie? It's a zombie.
Well,
a zombie. And they like their zombies in Lynchburg and Danville.
Exactly. And you mentioned people south of Charlottesville, and it's Lynchburg and Danville who keep bringing up the Western Bypass.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard the business leaders from those communities say, you know, that they can't get through a conversation talking about 29 without, you know, being really angry about Charlottesville.
Yeah.
So the Western Bypass, of course, goes way back to the 90s, the early 90s. VDOT started buying the land for this roughly 6-mile road that would start over near St. Anne's Belfield and the 29-250 bypass, and then go up towards the Ravanna River behind Albemarle High School, up along the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, and end then in the alignment they were looking at, it would have ended right at the DoubleTree Hotel, right?
Yeah.
Right around there.
Which, had they built that, it would have been crazy.
Well,
right? Because that's no bypass.
And, of course, our growth area goes further north of that now.
Oh, yeah.
Forest Lakes, North Point, eventually.
Going up to Rutgersville.
Hollymead Town Center.
Yeah.
So whether that alignment's the right one or not, people are still talking about, should there be a bypass somewhere? either west of Charlottesville or east of Charlottesville.
If you do it, it should go up to, like, just past, up around the airport. Maybe the North Fork, UVA's North Fork Research Park. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, and then it's a longer road, and then it's more expensive, and then there's more land to buy.
They're not going
to
build that road.
And
come on.
And that's what the Virginia Secretary of Transportation apparently told Rodney Thomas and Dennis Rooker, who met with the two of them went down to Richmond, met with the new Secretary of Transportation. We have a new governor, new Secretary of Transportation.
Sean Connaughton, friend of mine. He's a very good guy. Very, very smart guy.
Sean told our local representatives that there was no money to build this road.
Hello.
Even if somebody wanted it. So, you know, I think people hold out hope that there will be some federal earmark that will come along and just make this road possible, or that Virginia will decide to invest in transportation again at some point in the future and fund these things. But the reality is that it's still a bone of contention between Lynchburg and Charlottesville in particular. So,
what is it about we don't have any money for this that Lynchburg and Danville don't understand? They keep acting like Charlottesville's standing in the way. Even if we weren't standing in the way, it wouldn't be built. There's no money.
Well, they would say, well, we saved up our money for 15 years and we built our bypasses, so why can't you do the
and
same?
They're nice. They are nice. Have you ridden on those bypasses around Lynchburg and Danville?
And expensive, and that's a huge bridge
they're
going over
nice.
The James River.
Yeah, they're nice roads.
But Secretary Connaughton told Lynchburg and Charlottesville officials recently that he needed to have a meeting with them to hammer out some of these issues. So I think what you're seeing, Coy, is the new governor is certainly being pressured, I assume, by folks down in Lynchburg. In fact, one of the delegates down there, Senator Stephen Newman, you know, he's called for the Charlottesville and Albemarle Metropolitan Planning Organization to be stripped of all its authority related to anything touching 29.
They're mad.
Mr. Rooker's opinion about this upcoming meeting, which we now know is going to be scheduled for late July, you know, Mr. Rooker said, quote, "We will try to extend the hand of friendship to the folks down in Lynchburg."
So this is going to be a big powwow between Charlottesville, Albemarle folks and the Lynchburg-Danville folks.
And probably nothing will happen, except there will be an airing of views. And, you know, Mr. Rooker is very clear on his view of this road. And I think Rodney Thomas, in the story we wrote, which you can get at SeavilleTomorrow.org, Mr. Thomas is even saying we need to channel the investments into the existing 29. We need to widen it between the river and Hallamy Town Center. We need to widen it in front of Best Buy.
You need great separated interchanges. You do.
Not everyone agrees on that.
And I know people, and I get emails from people saying, oh, that's a crazy idea. You need overpasses on 29, hydraulic, Rio for starters. It's got to happen one day.
What VDOT has said, their data shows that even if you built the bypass 29 without grade separation, as you said, Coy, without grade separation, 29 fails anyway.
Yeah.
So if you have limited,
even if you have a bypass.
So if you have limited dollars, Mr. Rooker would say, let's put him in 29 and try to make 29 as efficient as possible. The business community says, hey, but we're concerned about disruptions to our business. We're concerned about loss of property and stores at some of these key intersections. There's a lot to work through there.
Indeed. Brian Wheeler, the website is SeavilleTomorrow.org. And very quick, tomorrow night on the calendar.
Tomorrow night, the Crozet Master Plan is in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission for what I expect will be its last public hearing at the Planning Commission level before it goes on to the Board of Supervisors.
So there'll be a lot of people there tomorrow night for that.
There should be. And, of course, the Yancey Mills Business Park Project will be discussed.
Ooh,
and,
that's going to be good
interesting
stuff.
Feedback there.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.